This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you, Rosemary. Yes, it's a huge pleasure to be acting chief executive for just 3 months. I don't think people realise how dangerous it is to have someone who's only there for 3 months. But we're very much looking forward to our new chief executive joining UCAS. I don't know if you know who she is, Mary Curnow-Cook, who currently is Director of Qualifications at QCDA. And you may ask, why is she joining UCAS? Well, very interestingly, she's got extensive pre-HE experience, but she also has a lot of marketing experience. So perhaps watch this space. I'm very conscious that I am between all these expert director of marketing communications from universities and colleges. So the last thing I want to do is try and tell you how to market to students. So I want to take a step back, really, and perhaps take a little bit more of a kind of global view of the situation that we're facing. And I suppose provocatively, I could say, well, why on earth do you need to market at all? We've had a huge increase in applications, a considerable increase in acceptances, and yes, there are universities out there who are still very worried because they've exceeded their cap by 200 or 300 students, and they're just waiting to see whether fines will come in or not. But over 27,000 more students recruited, and currently still there were 139,000 students who were unplaced. So surely there are all these students who've come into the shop to buy. Why can't you pick them up? Of course, we're not just talking UK students, very importantly, international students. And Rosemary, I'm assuming that all these slides will be on the Neil Stewart website, so you can access all these stats when you go there. International students up as well. Although, of course, one of the things we're facing now is an increase in fraud and fraudulent applications. And I might come back to that a bit later on. Not least, of course, one of the issues now around contextual data, whereby there's a lot of self-evidenced information put on the UCAS application, whether it's about being in care or parental occupation or parental experience of higher education. Is that validated? No. Are students becoming more tactical, perhaps, in their applications? And I think the student tactics is something that probably will affect you quite a lot. I'm not going to read out these slides. I'm hoping you'll get the sense, though, of where the numbers are coming from. So you say, well, there are all these applications. Let's go and spend our marketing budget on something else. We can pick up the students. Then you say, oh, well, perhaps we'd better look at it a little bit more closely. What about individual subject areas? Well, many of them are up. And yes, you can pontificate, I suppose, as to which sort of subjects. Are they the more vocational? Are they more related to careers? But actually, there's not a huge amount of difference over the last couple of years. And you also see those figures that are down, and I think particularly the languages. At the beginning of the year, we were asked to predict how many students are going to go into clearing. This was after the government announced the possible cap on student numbers in January. So we did lots of complicated calculations, and Anthony McLaren said very confidently that clearing at most would attract 25,000 students or be able to place 25,000 students. And in fact, Hefke even said, oh, perhaps there won't even be a clearing this year. I think we've given up doing predictions since then. 47,000 students recruited through clearing. So perhaps that gives a clue what's going on. And it's not just the less competitive universities who need to recruit through clearing. I mean, this doesn't give the whole picture, but you can see there, Russell Group will be recruiting students through clearing just as much as the other mission groups. Sometimes not all universities declare that they have places in clearing, and this can be an issue, but certainly we see the numbers that are placed. And interestingly also, of course, when we look at adjustment, how that has affected institutions as well. So these are just an overview of some of the figures. You can see in terms of the numbers that were accepted through clearing and the numbers that were still left without a place. Newspapers love to make a huge fuss about this. You would have read it in the papers. Oh, all these high-flying students who haven't found a place. However much you point out that actually last year it was not hugely different. It was more like 120,000 last year, 139,000 this year. Not substantially different. And we've done research, if anybody's ever interested, in who those unplaced applicants are and where they come from. Adjustment, I thought it might be helpful just to mention what went on there. Those of you who've been following with great interest the deliberations of the delivery partnership, which included things like the abolition of Route B, will have seen that adjustment became a major feature of the delivery partnership. And this was to enable students who perhaps had underestimated what they were going to get in terms of predicted grades, who did better and were able to exceed the offer they had, to be able to look around. We were worried at UCAS at one stage that this would result in huge numbers of phone calls, and probably you will have your own experience. And in fact, we almost doubled our customer service unit to be able to cope with this great influx of calls that we were going to have from the 40% or so of students who could qualify for adjustment. In the event, we didn't actually have any more phone calls, but we sure had a lot of longer phone calls from mature students, from perhaps students from non-traditional backgrounds who needed far more advice. So staff were gainfully employed, but you'll see there that out of 3,600 or so who ended up registering for adjustment, the grand total of 384 were placed in adjustment, and all that activity happened in the first few days. And there are major issues now, I think, bubbling up around clearing, which is everything is happening so fast that a poor student, I heard a student say the other day, it's not fair, my friend went to the school and got her A-level results at 8 o'clock in the morning. My school only let me have my A-level results at 10 o'clock in the morning. At 12 o'clock, a lot of the places had gone. This was a student who didn't get their grades. What huge pressure we're putting now on students to make these life-changing decisions in such a short time. Almost technology now has outstripped what people are trying to contend with. So adjustment, small but perfectly formed, worked well, and I'd love to give away that those institutions that swore blind that they would not have any places, didn't take people in clearing, and then suddenly found lots of places in adjustment. So just quickly on the 15th of October, yes, as you said, applications up quite considerably, caused a bit of a stir. They are coming down again at the moment, and we can theorise as much as we like whether people are putting in their applications earlier or whether this is still an indication of the recession. But again, all these subjects up quite considerably. I want to mention four different types of marketing, I suppose. We've certainly seen a huge trend away from above the line to much more data-based, and I'm sure Richard would be talking about these sort of things, data-based marketing and also digital marketing. But if you're just looking at your figures, how do you know whether you're doing well or badly? Of course, you might say, oh, yes, you know, we've got an increase of 10% at our university. Aren't we doing well? But unless you see how the others are doing as well, whether it's nationally or your competitor group, then you don't really have a feel. And it's very powerful information to be able to share, I think, with vice-chancellors and senior staff, that you know absolutely, subject by subject, how you're comparing with both the national picture and the competitor group. And that's a product which I'm not going to dwell on, which is called AppTrack, which many people do now use quite extensively. Of course, it's easy when you've seen that you're actually having fewer applications. It's when you have more applications that it's difficult to get a perspective. And these three slides that I'll show you, they are actually all from both, I think, Russell Group universities. So what we're really seeing now is the pattern in terms of targeting and segmentation, trying to winkle out those different subject areas where you do have to pay the most attention, and try and make sure your courses are full. Another feature I want to highlight is something called the track survey. You'll be aware that students have their own track system that they can go look at when they've put in their application. They can monitor their application. And so we thought last year, well, why don't we ask them when they fill in their application and when they've actually decided on their CF and CI, why don't we ask them why they've chosen their first choice, or perhaps more importantly, why they've declined other offers? And I always laugh slightly because I am absolutely sure, yes, when you read the statistics, it's all about the course is most important, the location is most important, reputation is most important. And then you start to read, of course, some of the reasons that they give. Why did applicants decline an HEI? I'll come on to this in a minute. I wanted to get further away from home. Well, fair enough. Pretty naff town. I just wanted to see if I'd get in, and I did, but I didn't actually want to go there. I declined it because I might get stabbed. My brother and I would have been studying the same course if I went there. Weather, don't know which devolved country that is. Ex-boyfriend goes there. I wanted to go to uni with my boyfriend, but this university rejected him. So there are all sorts of soft reasons, as you know, and they probably put down their official reason, didn't like the course or financial issues. But there is a lot of feedback. 90,000 students filled in this survey. The biggest overriding one is they didn't feel welcome at an open day, and that's probably one of your single greatest assets in terms of getting the message across. So there's the track survey, and that really will compare your declined offers against students' first choice, why they chose the first choice. And again, they'll say things like, staff really friendly and answered all the questions and queries I had. There was a fun, friendly atmosphere when I visited on an open day. Having spent time at the summer school there, I just knew it was the right place for me to go. Good, great for summer schools. They replied to me very quickly with the information I needed, and the area itself and the reputation, not just the social life. So reputation did get a look in there. And the track survey then will collect for individual universities the top three reasons why you have been declined by somebody you have given an offer to. And then you will also see in aggregate where those students have gone on to. So you'll be able to see in almost, not quite real time, but how they've reacted to you and to others. I want to mention just two types of information. One, something I'm getting increasingly fond of because it is unloved, which is Unistats. Now, we have tried all sorts of marketing of Unistats, and actually now it is growing quite considerably. The brand is established out there. But the fact remains, students aren't particularly turned on by hard information. And those of you who are familiar with Unistats, it contains all the details of the National Student Survey, of tariff points actually accepted, dropout rates, all the stuff Mandelson's going on about, not contact hours, I hasten to say, but degree classifications, huge wealth of information, and the opportunity for universities to write comments as well. But just in terms of a case study, to say how we dealt with it, and of course this is where digital marketing is so effective, because we can send emails to pre-applicants and to applicants, particularly pre-applicants. And we tried these different subject lines, and do, I'm sure you do already, experiment with different subject lines when you're keeping that student warm after they've applied to you. The actual general open rate, I think, is about 10%, and click-through, no, 25%, and click-through is 10%. We did try your uni girl-to-boy ratio, and that had a very high response, but Hefke wasn't very happy with that. But equally, when we started to talk about, do you want to know what tariff points you need, it was a turn-off. So the hard information is quite difficult for students to adjust to until they're absolutely making their final decision. And, of course, with Unistats, the problem is that it's at subject level still, and it's not at course level, which it has to be. Another thing we've done a lot of is on search engine optimization. I rejected this at first. I thought the brand names would be very, very strong. It's been really, really successful, and I'm sure you will have had information on SEO earlier today, but I do recommend it in terms of trying to track down what students are really interested in, your positioning, the way you differentiate yourself from other institutions. So with Unistats, there is actually quite a considerable case study out there in terms of how the marketing has evolved and how it's developed, how we're using things like Google AdWords and Facebook as well to get students on. Talking of Facebook, that leads me to the penultimate set of slides, which is the YouGo website. This is something that was developed by UCAS a couple of years ago. We didn't really get it right first time round, but this is a student-only networking site. It's moderated in association with CEOP. Students use their proper names so they don't actually talk rubbish. They can meet other students there before they go to university. They can talk to individual universities online and their forums and web chats and a host of other areas to do with information, advice and guidance. A lot of communication with UCAS itself, and this is a way we're seeing actually our telephone calls going down because of using the website to answer people's queries. And that's something that we'll be taking very seriously over the next year. Finally, and I don't know if you can see that, but do look at this slide. I'm addicted to a Dictomatic. Now, this is where you can go online and see what students are saying about you in social networking sites. And I'm sure most of you have come across these sites. And so you go in and you put up in here, for example, we've put in UCAS, and they'll talk about UCAS on Twitter, on Google, on Dig, never heard of that, Bing News. So the Twitter search, I haven't got anything yet from UCAS or any of the universities. Or writing my UCAS personal statement over the weekend. Any of you clever academic types got any tips for me? Or UCAS still not sent, get a move on, college. Or is it just me, or are UCAS evil? So you'll see things on Twitter, things on these different social networking sites. Very good way of really tapping into what students think about you. And I don't really want to leave you with the statement, is it just me or are UCAS evil? But why not?
Thank you very much, Virginia. Thank you.